Take us to Rathi Atra time, so. Better we just talk about Rathi Atra, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, we got
cartels
or tambourines, at least.
Oh, God. Chananadabhaktivedanta Goswami Maharshila Prabhupada Kijaya. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijaya. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijaya. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijaya. Vrinda Se Gaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadata Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopata Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijaya Vrinda Vada Kijaya Charanam Kijaya Haripdam Kijaya Jagadatha Sami Kijaya Manamai Kijaya Shimadi Lassi Devi Kijaya Samveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijaya Gaura Premanandana. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Shri Prabhupada Kijai. Gaura Premanandana. So there's no microphone so they can hear in the kitchen or not? Anyway, they should hear in the kitchen. So, Omagana, Timidanga Shag, Nanjana, Slakaya, Chachur, Medikan, Yena, Tosmai, Shigurveda Maha. So, today we'll speak about Rath Yatra. And actually, just several stories. One story is, you know, why does Lord Jagannath look like Lord Jagannath? A very unusual deity, Jagannath. So, there's actually two stories. One is the story that you commonly know, which is the story about King Indradyumna. And King Indradyumna, he constructed this temple. I'm not going to tell the whole story of the Chandrakriya, not to come. But anyway, he constructed the temple to Lord Jagannath, and he wanted to have a deity there. And then he was informed by the Lord that the wood would come floating in the ocean, and so when the wood came floating in the ocean, he wasn't able to move it, so Vidyapati and Visvasu, who were involved in this whole pastime, helped him bring the wood into the place where it was going to be carved, and he decided, thank you, to have the wood carved into the deity. So then what happened is he couldn't find someone with strong enough implements to carve the deity, because every time the carpenter tried to carve the deity, the implements broke. Eventually, and there's two versions of the story, one was that Vishwakarma came to carve the deity, and another one was that the Lord himself came. There's actually two different versions in the different Puranas. You know, so whatever. The version that most devotees know is the Vishwakarma one. So anyway, so he came and he told King Prataparudra, and not King Pratapa, King Radunya, that I will carve the deity, but you can't interrupt me. And if I'm interrupted, I'm going to leave. So what happened is that it was going on for about 14 days, and then there was no sound of the carving anymore. And the king, he didn't want to interrupt the carpenter, but the king's wife, so it's a problem with wives. So the king's wife nagged him, said, oh, you got to interrupt, there may be something going on, you got to go. So we went in and found these half-finished forms of the deities. And he felt so morose that he was going to starve himself to death and leave this material world. And then he had a vision and a voice, and it said that that Lord Jagannath wanted to be worshipped like that. So that's the story devotees commonly know. There's another story told, very interesting, it's also from the Puranas. That's right, I don't need water. It's cold enough without water. this is a very, very interesting story that's told by my godbrother, Gaur Govinda Maharaj. If you've read the story before, we'll tell it again. So once upon a time, Krishna was in Dwarka, and Krishna's wives, of course, were there, and some of Krishna's associates. And Krishna's wives were very interested to hear about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. So what they did is they asked the one person who was there in Vrindavan and also was there in Dwarka, and that's Rohini, the mother of Balaram. So actually, she was there for both. Of course, Krishna and Balaram were there too, but they didn't ask Krishna and Balaram. So they asked Rohini, tell us about the pastimes of Vrindavan. The wives are very curious. And so what happened is that Rohini said, I'll tell you, but Krishna and Balaram should not be able to hear these pastimes, because if they hear the pastimes, they'll feel so morose that they'll want to go back to Vrindavan. Especially Krishna's going to want to go back to Vrindavan. So they said, we have to really be careful. Okay. I don't really need water. I need a microphone more than water, but that's all right. Are they better sit and just sit in here class? That's all right.
That was my phone, right? My phone gives you some
water. Yeah, that's right. That's right. But so there was decided that that actually Krishna and Balaram should not hear about these pastimes, because they would be dragged back to Vrindavan by their minds and become morose. So who's going to guard the door? So they picked this very interesting devotee to guard the door, and that's Subhadra. So you heard this story before? Yes, I'm sure you heard this story. So Subhadra, sounds like a microphone in the wrong room. So Subhadra, that's all right.
He's coming.
Just now coming. Okay. Because we don't want to go on too long, because there's a lot of preparation that devotees have to do throughout the yatra. So Subhadra was guarding the door, so that Krishna and Balaram or no one else who wasn't qualified would hear these particular pastimes. So then what happened is that Subhadra, naturally feeling very curious, put her ear to the door. Okay, you're almost there. Okay, very nice. Okay. Okay, just turn on. So Subhadra put her ear to the door, and naturally, if you tell someone not to listen, they're going to want to listen. If you say, don't listen, they'll definitely want to listen. So she listened, and she heard about these pastimes of Vrindavan. And guess what happens?
Her eyes got big.
Her eyes got big. Like that. And so, she was standing like that. Buzz. I guess you can't have perfection here. It's always some problem. So that's better now. So what happened was that she was standing there right by the door, and then who happened to walk by? Ben Baller. And he said, he's looking at Sivani. Wow. He looked really unusual today. So he put his ear to the door to hear what Sivani was hearing, and exactly similar thing happened to Balaram like this. And then Krishna, the same thing happened to him. So that's really why Jagannath looks the way he does, because he's actually Krishna experiencing separation from Vrindavan. So in other words, these deities of Lord Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra are manifestations of the Bhav. Bhav, of course, means emotion. The Bhav of Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra in relationship to Vrindavan. Vipralamba Bhav. Vipralamba Seva, separation. So it's a manifestation of that intense mood, which is actually one of the highest moods is the highest mood. As Lord Chaitanya prays, Dainam Shena Chakshu Shalparashai Nam Shinyayam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Vlehename. O Krishna, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like a yuga or 12 years or more, as Prabhupada translated it. And I'm feeling the whole world vacant in your absence. So, this is the mood that Srila Prabhupada instructed us to worship Krishna and also to worship the holy land and execute devotional service. The mood of intense separation, but the separation, one is actually. One is actually. Just leave it, whatever it is. We'll be satisfied. In separation, one is actually feeling much more intensely the connection with the beloved than the meeting. So anyway, there's different aspects of the relationship with Krishna and Radharani. Separation is actually the most intense. And of course, people have that as further up. So we're not going to get into that. So that's why Lord Jagannath looks like he does. And Lord Chaitanya, interesting, is Krishna in the mood of Radharani, as we know. And he's feeling separation from Krishna. And Krishna as Lord Jagannath is Krishna as Krishna, of course, in the separation from Radharani. So you have this interplay in the Rathyatra between Lord Jagannath being attracted by Radharani's love and Radharani's love to drag him back to Vrindavan. Okay. So let's talk about the festival itself. So as far as the festival of Rathyatra, it actually starts with the Snani Yatra. You got Snani Yatra?
Yes.
How many days ago?
15 days.
15 days ago. Snani means like a bath. So, Lord Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra give him a bath. And apparently, they get sick. This is called Nivritta, which means solitary confinement. So, apparently, they're sick. Actually, we know the Lord has a spiritual body, so there's no question of sickness. What he's doing is making believe he's sick. And the reason he's making believe he's sick is so that he can have some QT quality time with Lakshmi. That's it. American expression, QT. Bring the people? QT. So, because he wants to be with his wife. And sometimes we experience even children, they will make believe that they're sick because they want to get out and go to school, right? So Lord Jagannath, he wanted to get out of going to the Siddhartha Assembly House for a while. So he wanted to spend time with Lakshmi, his wife, one of the wives of Dwarka. So, therefore, feeling or experiencing the association of his wife, he was reminded of the residence of Vrindavan, which is interesting. Because the wives of Krishna, they're all expansions of the gopis in Vrindavan. I mean, for example, you have Satyabhama, who is an expansion of Radharani. And you have Rukmini, who is an expansion of Chandravala. So whenever Krishna associates with his wife, and then Vrihadabhatamrita, we have Satyabhama getting really, let's say, upset because she saw Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan.
And Krishna basically says to her, actually, I don't love you. He says, basically, the only reason I got married to you was, first of all, I got this letter from Rukmini. You know, she was being harassed, and there was being a forced marriage with Shishupal. And secondly, the reason I got married to you is because you remind me of my girlfriends in Vrindavan. Now, that's a very hard thing for a wife to accept, isn't it? Like, you tell your wife, you know, I really married you because you remind me of my previous girlfriends. It would really be cause for problems. But Krishna does that. He said that to Satchabhama because he enjoys getting Satchabhama angry. Satchabhama, she's left-handed wife. There's left-handed wives and right-handed wives, left-handed girls, right-handed girls. The left-handed ones are unsubmissive, get angry. They have this man, which is actually one of the highest stages of training. Man means like, basically, it's taken not so literally that it's anger, but the real meaning is in the mind, you know, man, which means anger, which manifests as anger. So she has this man, and Krishna enjoys it very much, so he's enjoying getting such about anger. But it's a fact that Krishna is actually most attracted to the gopis of Vrindavan, because the other devotees outside of Vrindavan, their mood is not as intimate. Krishna, not as pleasing to Krishna. Although it's pleasing, but not as pleasing. So therefore, after associating with his wife, Krishna really wants to go to Vrindavan to see the gopis. So then he says to his wife, during this anavasara, this vritta solitary confinement, there's also the devotees, you know, paint the jagannathis and ranavetis and like that, get ready for Rath Yatra. So he says to his wife, that actually I want to go for a little walk. He doesn't tell her that he wants to go to Vrindavan. Just like in the material world, someone will say something to his wife when he actually has a girlfriend. It's called a paramour. In the material world, that's considered the lowest. You know, especially when one is not faithful to one's wife or husband and has an illicit relationship. It's very, very low, disgusting. But in the spiritual world, which is the original form from which this material world is a perverted reflection, that's the highest. And then really what entangles people in this material world is that lust. And what attracts the people in Raj is the conjugal love between Madhava and Krishna. So you see, it's the most attractive feature in the spiritual world, and it's the most attractive feature for people in Maya, this so-called conjugal world, Analoi, lawless, illicit life in the material world. So anyway, so Krishna makes it, he says, I just want to go for a walk. And he wants to go to Vrindavan. He's very much attracted to Vrindavan. And so Vrindavan is represented by the Gundicha temple. And Gundicha temple, in order for Vrindavan to manifest, one's heart has to be cleansed. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present, they had this very nice ceremony called the Gundicha Bharjana. Did you ever do that?
Yeah.
Everybody cleaned the temple?
We had the farm as Vrindavan.
Ah, so you all go to the farm.
A couple of times, the deity stayed over there for a while, and we had that Gundicha. Then after our reaction, the deity took the farm.
That's a nice idea.
We did. It was very nice.
That's a nice idea.
Do it again, get more time.
Yeah, I don't think that's because then you have to have a return.
A lot of work.
Yeah, sure.
We did it. Real nice.
Yeah. Maybe in the future.
The Temple Maharaj organized it. It's excellent.
In the future, maybe we should do that. Now it's not organized like that, but you have to tell Yogi about it. Guess who's coming to dinner? The deities. So they cleanse the Vinaya temple, and Lord Chaitanya has this wonderful pastime in the temple of Chaitanya Charitamrita, how he personally cleanses the temple with his associates, and he chastises the people who don't do such a good job of putting by being a little sarcastic. He says, oh, you've done so well today. And in fact, they haven't. And they had a competition about the biggest pile of dirt, and ultimately they were washing the temple out of pots of water, and then it was running into rivers, basically. And Lord Chaitanya cleansed the Simhasana, the sitting place, the being who was on the cloth, what was on the cloth. So, anyway, so it's a wonderful pastime, and it's explained in the purport that the Vindhya temple, in one sense, represents one's heart that has to be cleansed in Krishna consciousness, cleansed by the chanting of Hare Krishna, the service of the Vaishnavas, all those other things, so that Krishna can come into one's heart. Because Krishna is always in one's heart, but we're not able to perceive his presence. But we want Radha and Krishna to manifest in our hearts. So that's the Vindhya Marjana. And then when the Vindhya temple is cleansed, they have the Pandu Vijaya. The Pandu Vijaya is when the Lord actually takes permission from Lakshmi and leaves the place. And it's in Ratha Yatra, during the Ratha Yatra ceremony, it's quite interesting. Has anyone here been to Puri during Ratha Yatra? They have all sorts of like jugglers and going before Lord Jagannath. Have you seen that? And they throw things in the air. And it's like a whole, almost like a circus done for Lord Jagannath. And Lord Jagannath comes out and he's so heavy, Jagannath follows his brother, that they can't even be carried. They bounce from one cotton cushion, it's called a tuli, to another, and they're carried by silken ropes to the carts. They're bouncing and swinging back and forth. And it's really quite interesting to see the coming on the cart. So once they get on the cart, then they have the Baliganda Prasana, which is a Boga offering that's made to them. First Boga offering. And then the king comes out, and actually even before they get on the cart, Dutch Baruj is sweeping the road in front of where these cotton pads are. And he's also sweeping the road in front of the carts, King Pratibharuja. Do we have a devotee dressed like Pratibharuja? Yes. In Mexico, it's interesting, we have a devotee actually dressing up just like King Pratibharuja in a golden broom. And he sweeps the path, and then he lets the other devotees have a broom from time to time so they can sweep the path in front of Lord Chaitanya. It's very, very interesting. And so, King Pratibharuja, because he did that, he got Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was previously refusing to see him, agreed to see the king. So the king came in disguise as an ordinary devotee. But the point of that is if one renders humble service to the Lord, one impresses the Lord. And instead of trying to be such a big, big, puffed up devotee, if one just takes a humble position of Gopi Bhakta Padakamala, Dasa Dasa, Dasa Dasa. Krishna becomes very pleased. So, anyway, so then there's the card festival, which the card proceeds to the temple. And during that time, it's understood that the devotees are assisting the gopis in dragging Krishna to Vrindavan. Of course, this also commemorates something that happened in Kurukshetra. You know, in Kurukshetra, Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan met after many, many years. And the gopis would chant this song, which was spoken by Guru Chaitanya, that I am the same Radharani, I am the same Krishna, but I wish to joy with you underneath the Tasi tree. In other words, we want to be with you in Vrindavan. Because generally, the gopis, it's like a lady going to see her husband in the workplace. She wants to enjoy with him at home. Not at a business place. So they want to be with Krishna in Vrindavan, which that's the symbolism of the Ratha Yatra Festival, dragging Krishna. So anyone who participates in the Ratha Yatra Festival is actually assisting the gopis in this highest of all relationships with Krishna, bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. So it's, we should invite people to help pull the cart. Not just chanting, of course, the most important thing, but also pulling the cart. And anyone who touches the cart, even if they're a non-devotee, they're actually participating in the highest pastimes of Krishna. And that's one of the advantages. So, at a particular point, when Lord Chaitanya was present, the cart actually stopped, couldn't move. And Lord Chaitanya, even the king brought out his elephants and horses and all the kings, men and everything like that. And Lord Chaitanya eventually had to push the cart over his head. Similar thing happened when Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur was there in his father's house on the main road, and the cart just stopped and he couldn't move the cart. until they brought Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Thakura was a little young baby at that time. And he took his first grains and burned them from Lord Jagannath and fell on his head. And that, then the cart begins to move again. So there's many pastimes like that when the cart stops moving. And sometimes devotees, even in the Western world, have pastimes when the cart just won't move too. In Mexico, in Guadalajara, 1978, we had an interesting pastime. We had three carts, and two of the carts, the wheels fell off. And then we have to put all the beads on one cart. So I guess they don't want it to be together. I mean, the wheels just went to the side. You know, it was just too heavy for them. It just like splayed out like that. And for a time, the devotees tried to carry the cart, which was impossible, obviously. So that happens in Mexico quite a bit, things like that. So, anyway, it's also not a fact that you get run over by the cart. Actually, what you kind of forbade Sanatana Goswami from doing that. He said, do not. He said, if I thought I could go back, if I could get Krishna by committing suicide, I would be prepared to go to this body many, many times. So we want to protect people from being run over by the wheel of the cart. Generally, you're supposed to have guards under the wheel, at least the front portion of the wheel, so that people don't inadvertently slip under the wheel. So eventually, the cart gets to Vindicha. And Vindicha temple, they have daily Sankirtan festivals. And also, Lord Chaitanya's associates, they change their moods in Vindicha. They become like little children, which is interesting. In Puri temple, they're very awe reverent. Lord Chaitanya's very much reverent. He just stands in the Buddha Stamba like this, seeing Lord Jagannath. But when they get to Vindicha, because it's Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya's associates are playing in the Narendra Sarovara and Indradhumi Lake, and they're playing like children, splashing each other, you know, having a good time, having fights, you know, splashing fights with each other. It's quite interesting, isn't it? How the mood changes at that particular point. So, then, about 5 days afterwards, after the initial yatra, then the goddess of fortune, Lord Jagannath's wife, sort of figures out he's not coming. Or he hadn't come home yet, and he just made an excuse. He wasn't going for a walk. He wanted to see his girlfriends. So she gets really upset. And what she does is she goes with her associates to attack Lord Jagannath's associates. So this is called the Hera Panchami. Hera, referring to the goddess of fortune, Panchami, which is the fifth day about this. So she goes and they start beating up Lord Jagannath's associates. And of course, Lord Chaitanya and his associates took the guys, when they disguised themselves as either Jagannath's associates or Lakshmi's associates, and there was this big, big, big fight. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this, he was just so amazed with this, and he began to describe the jealous anger of Lakshmi. And he actually gave quite an interesting analysis. He says there's three types of jealous women. One type is peaceful, or let's say controlled. The other type is extremely angry, and the other type is mixed. And Lord Chaitanya said, well, extremely angry one, that's easy to understand. The controlled ones, he said, the mixed one means one who actually chastises the lover with sarcastic words. Angry means like this, you rascal, you and the peaceful one just like, okay, not gonna say anything. But still she was pretty upset with the whole thing. So anyway, that was the Hera Panchami, and then Lord Jagannath actually returns on the ninth day afterwards in the return of yatra. And of course we only have one yatra here, right? We're not gonna have a return one. But in some places in the world they actually have going. So he comes back to his home with Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, and he leaves Vrindavan. So this is the significance of the Rath Yatra ceremony. So any questions? We're going to go on too long because there's a lot of things for people to do. It's Any questions? Yes.
I mean, I understood and heard that if somebody, you know, like a car meet person, help, you know, pull up the car with the ropes.
Yeah.
Anybody who does that gets liberation.
Yes.
The cycle of birth and death.
How's
that be understood in terms of the car?
Well, liberation is one thing. But they have to actually become pure devotees to go back to God. Liberation means liberation from their karma, past, present, and future. For example, even if one chants Namabhash, you know what Namabhash is? It's accidentally, jokingly, meeting something else, separating the syllables. Like even if you go to Ramada Inn, that's Namabhash. I'm going to Rama. Or, anyway. So even if you go to even if you chant accidentally, you get liberated. But that liberation doesn't mean you go back to Godhead. It means to go back to Godhead, you have to be pure devotee.
I just heard that anybody who pulls the card doesn't have to take birth again. That's what I heard. That's wrong, and you're saying that's wrong.
If they perform devotional service from that point forward, but if they begin to, if they continue to do sinful activities.
But still, you get amazing benefits.
Oh, yeah, they get amazing benefits.
Their karmic slate is basically wiped out.
Yeah, the karmic slate is wiped out. All their karma, Parabdha karma, Kuta, Bija, all that is all wiped out. But if they decide to again perform sinful activities, let's say, you know, someone pulls the card that goes, let's say we're at the French Quarter, and then they go to the bar right afterwards.
But, I met five college students from Tulane.
Yeah.
What I do out in French Quarter. Had a great time with them. And I mentioned the parade. And I explained that anybody in the scriptures, anybody who comes and pulls the cart, they're coming. They said they're coming today. They want because, wow. No more births, you know.
Well, you get to go back to God. That doesn't make any new births. I mean, even since, again, you may be a member of the Krishna Conscious Movement, but unless you're pure devotee. Not you. You're already back to God.
That's the best joke you've ever told.
But, I pulled so many cards.
Yeah.
For so many years, chanted so many mantras. But, I'll probably take birth again.
No.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm coming back. Why not?
I mean, only to preach, maybe. Yeah, to preach.
You know, to play with electronic gadgets. I mean, obviously, I'm guaranteeing pure devotional service, but it's just like the bud, apple bud, or the seed of a tree. You know, it's growing. It has to be fructified. It has to be watered. Anything like that. You know, if I was guaranteeing. You know, I could actually tell, I'm not even saying to do this, but if I thought that I was actually guaranteed to go back to God no matter what, then I'd say, you know, Drew, let's go to the movies today. Why do we have to go to Rathi Atra? I've had just so many Rathi Atras already. I've already gotten a ticket.
Yeah.
I got a ticket, so let's take it easy. Let's go to Hawaii and go surfing. Yeah, that's very auspicious. They're going back to God.
Yeah.
It's for sure they're going back to God, but
they've begun their
devotional service. I mean, anyone who comes in contact with Prabhupada, you know, the seed of devotion has been planted from Prabhupada's vision. So they actually, there's no more birth than death, that's true. But it'll take some time to manifest.
Just like that devotee was chastised. You know the pastime. He was asking, Lord Chaitanya rejected him, and they went and pleaded on his behalf.
Okay,
tell him 1 million
birds.
What is it, 1 million birds?
1 million birds.
He danced in ecstasy because that's like nothing is snapping a moment in eternity.
Yes, and I will get. That was Mukunda because he was associated with some Mayavadis or something, and Lord Chaitanya was upset. So, you know, we're guaranteed. Guaranteed, but it's, you know, it's not that you're just like, wow, guaranteed. I got a creeper city. You got to really purify the heart to go back to God again. There's no free rise.
And I read once Prabhupada in his book, he said, even if one desires to enjoy one candy bar, Prabhupada said, yes, to take another.
That's right. I mean, it's so strict. One candy bar. One, with me, it's one computer. Then I have to go back, come back. Take birth as an Apple computer. So, anyway, we have to work on our sadhana. There's no free ride. Otherwise, you know, what's the impetus for people to work on the sadhana? You know, there's no free ride. You got to work, you got to chant, you got to control the mind. You know, pretty powerful. Yeah.
One time Prabhupada said that 100% if you become pure, then you can only become eligible to go. But some part, the devotee there becomes very, you know, upset. So then Prabhupada reduced something, you know, 90%,
80%.
Yeah. I don't know, last of all,
they probably did that.
And at the end, I think he said something like, just grab all my dhoti.
Yeah, just grab all the dhoti. Then, I mean, there's interesting stories about, we had this hospice seminar last weekend, and with this devotee, Sangeeta, who's a professional hospice nurse, and she was telling some stories about people losing their bodies. And the one story was that, you know, someone said, Prabhupada has come to get me. You know, a devotee, you know, and that she saw Prabhupada come to get her. At the time of death, you know, so one say holy Prabhupada, you know, Krishna also says, you know, I carry what they lack, you know, preserve I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. So that, you know, there's some dispensation. It's not that you know, you're worried about a candy bar or a computer, I'm not worried about it. You know, if I have this anxiety on the computer, it'll be burned. You know, someone attached to their wife, or they throw her in the fire. You know, it's not exactly like that. You know, Prabhupada will take care of us, but we have to have a desire to go there. At least you have to have the desire to go back to God. Because if you don't, you get back there, you go, and you won't be happy. You know, Krishna's the center, everybody's dancing with Krishna. Hey, what about me? Where's my gopis?
They won't even let you in.
They won't even let you in the door. Can you imagine, you know, oh, you got a free ticket, oh, here's my ticket, you know, back to Godhead. But you have to love Krishna 100%. I mean, that's the prerequisite to go back to Godhead, yeah.
I was reading in ISKCON news last night that they were saying Jayananda Prabhu, Prabhupada called him Jayananda Maharaj, although he wasn't initiated. He was
initiated, but not a sannyasi.
Prabhupada said that although one who is fully surrendered to Krishna is in the mouth of blood. Is that true?
Yes, I mean that's what Krishna says in the Gita. Not he who lights no fire or performs no work. You know, that's the real renounced story of life. You know, externally we have some culture, you know, what is sannyasa dressed in a certain way. But the real essence of sannyas is one who dedicates 100% to Krishna. Sannyas. Nyas means to give up everything unfavorable, and sun means to accept everything favorable.
But he did refer to him as Maharaj.
Yeah. But the word Maharaj is not actually a traditional sannyas thing.
Right.
It's actually a traditional Kshatriya name.
Kshatriya
name. You don't find Rupa Goswami Maharaj. That Maharaj was added more recently by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur from preaching. Because traditionally Maharaj means great king. Maharaj. Raj also means passion, or big passionate one. So for preaching we use that term. But the Goswamis were Vrindavan and they certainly didn't have the name Maharaj added to them because they were anyway, they were on the highest platform.
What they call Swami?
Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami. And also, you know, Prabhupada, you know, Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada. know, the name Prabhupada's added to many initial silver devotees, like Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Goswami, Prabhupada. And so, then, but you don't find it like Sanatan Maharaj. You never hear that. Sanatan Maharaj. You have Swami Guru, like Ramana, even in the Sampradaya, Ramana, Jacharya, Swami. And so the Maharaj was sort of added by Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur for preaching purposes. And also in other Sampradayas, they sometimes do that too.
I can't remember exactly where I read the word Prabhupada Prabhupada says that Sannyasi is called Maharaj because he's the king of religious principles.
Yes. But it wasn't a tradition. That's it. Yeah, I mean that's the idea. Yeah, you know, it has some meaning, Maharaj or king of religious principles, but it's just really not a part of our tradition. But it's for preaching. Yeah, because it's like the, let's say if you're preaching to people, you know, people respond to the word Maharaj. Like if you just call someone by their name, let's say. Someone just called me by my name. Hey, you're Krishna. Yeah, it's not as respectable, so you gotta have respect for it. Although it's not a tradition.
Some of these things were added gradually, like the Goswamis, they didn't work that on any kind of levels.
No.
But maybe this was added for preaching purposes.
Yeah, well, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur added that because he studied the Ramanujacharya sannyasis. See, our type of sannyasa is an adaptation of what the Ramanujacharya sannyasi did, Sri Sampradaya. He went to South India because he wanted to prove, to show the sannyasi's realism in Kali Yuga to preach. But traditionally, the sannyasis would wear white, you know, the white short, I guess, longis or whatever it is. And you see that at Radhakund. They don't wear saffron. And even if you read Jiva Dharma by Bhakti Thakur, you'll find this one sannyasi, Chris Beardsley, who's in Murugan Sannyasi. He eventually gives up his saffron dress and everything, dresses like a Babaji. It's an interesting story. Because at that time, even at the time Bhakti Thakur is sannyasis, at least our Vaishnava sannyasis in Bodhi Sampradaya didn't wear the saffron. And Lord Chaitanya took sannyas in the Mayavada Sampradaya, the Bharati Mayavada Sampradaya. So people would respect and listen. He dressed like them.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, Lord Chaitanya, it's described that even the sannyasis traditionally would take off their Brahma threads and cut the siga. They take off it because the Brahma thread was actually a sign of caste. In other words, look, traditionally in India, the Brahmins very proud, and still are very proud. You know, sometimes a problem thing, but probably say, you know, it's like a two-pice thread. So people were very proud of it. So to give up pride, they actually gave up their Brahman thread. Whereas now, the sannyasis still have Brahman threads because we're engaged in preaching. We have to have a certain aspect of prestige in society so that people will listen to us. But, you know, if I walked around in a short gumshoe, the white puncha without a Brahman thread, without a sika, moving like an Avaduta, it'd be hard to preach to people. I mean, people, it's even harder for people to relate to me than it is now.
Especially in America.
Especially in America. I mean, in America, you know, people that, you know, sometimes devotees have to dress up in the Western clothes, the Shri clothes, and whatever else they do. It's like we have our Krishna Western. So imagine, let's say, the devotees going down the street with gumshoes on, especially this weather. New York, Boston, gumshoes on. Gumshoes, and without Brahman threads, and without cloth on the top, too. You know, that's another point. This shirt is not a Vaishnava tradition, or even Indian tradition. It comes from Afghanistan. This is a kurta. Kurta is an Afghan dress, not an Indian dress. So the sannyasins weren't allowed to wear silk cloth at all. Oh, you have stories about one devotee when the Lord Chaitanya, and he had to take his shirt off, and it's considered an offense. Because the sannyasins had to just wear, they had a piece of cloth, unsewn cloth, without a hem. Even my dhoti is not proper, because it has a hem on it. You understand? And it means there's some stitching on it. So tradition, this house, no stitching, just raw cloth, and it was called probably framed at the end because it didn't have a hem. And no shirt, they have a wrap or something like that to keep themselves warm. And that's it.
They didn't use bee bags?
What do they use bee bags? They cover the bees, but maybe they wrap cloth around them or something. Like you see, and if you go to Govardhan, sometimes you see people with like cloth wrapped around their hand, rather than a formal bead bag. But then generally, a sannyasi is not supposed to have some clothing. For two reasons. One is that it indicates an association with women, because the women have some. And another one is that when you have a, especially for deity worship, when you have a hand or something, it catches and keeps the dirt in there. It's not as clean. And that's why generally we're not supposed to wear shirts when you're not looking, because there's different things that catch the dirt in them. Although, it's interesting, we probably did our thing, wore shirts sometimes. I was with Prabhupada when he installed the deities in Dallas, Texas. And he was wearing a shirt. And this famous picture of Prabhupada with the deities in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada was wearing a shirt. Prabhupada wasn't so heavy at all. I mean, it's mainly just preaching book distribution and bringing people to Christian consciousness. All right, then we have to end because it's Swatyacha Day, and Lord Jagannath is going to get angry with us.